Support for this program is provided by Chevron.
Hey, I'm Anthony Adragna.
Why are you carrying shameful polluting plastic bottles? Don't you know you're hurting Mother Earth?
As private companies have become more comfortable talking about climate change and what they're doing to help the environment,
what if furniture could be better for nature, better for people?
A lot of brands you know are now talking about limiting, if not completely stopping, their use of plastics.
What if we could collect all these bottles and turn them into something else?
ShoulderStream, fuck plastic bottles.
I think only in the past couple of years there's been this really big public discourse around plastic pollution, definitely fueled by all the images that we're seeing from, for example, turtles getting stuck in fishing nets. And you can see that now also more governments stepping up. There's much more regulation, and also slowly brands are recognizing the pressure to step up. So they are also supporting this movement.
This is Politico Energy. And today,
my name is Eline Schaart, and I'm a sustainability reporter in Brussels.
Eline Schaart on the global push towards a unified plastic policy. It's Tuesday, July 6th.
You have the European Union that has banned some single-use plastic items. But then you also have a lot of other governments, some in Africa, some in Southeast Asia, that are now banning certain types of plastics. And at the same time, you see that there are a lot of voluntary agreements with industry, for example, pledging to use more recycled content. And at the same time, at the global level, you have a couple of global agreements, conventions, restricting some types of plastics, but there isn't on a global scale this overarching treaty agreement that really looks at all the different plastics and also all the different phases of the plastics go through.
And so how many countries are now voicing interest in negotiating something akin to maybe a Paris Agreement for plastics pollution?
So far, it's around two-thirds of UN countries. So that is approximately 135 nations. And of those, so far, 30 countries have signed up as co-sponsors of a motion drafted by Rwanda and Peru to actually open formal talks. And that motion will be up for vote in February.
Plastics are kind of ubiquitous here in the US, probably around the world. Can you tell us more about what this global solution would look like that's being discussed?
Yeah, so it's not entirely sure yet, because so far it's just they're trying to gauge interest in trying to create this movement. And then only after they have opened formal talks, they will look at the level of ambition. But it will probably be something to harmonize rules. For example, now there isn't a clear definition of what is a plastic bag. And all of those things make it much more difficult to regulate plastics. Maybe it will also give an incentive, a financial instrument for developing countries to put in place the infrastructure to deal with plastic trash.
Who are some of the major countries likely to be obstacles here? And I imagine the US may play a role there, as seems to be the case always.
Yeah, definitely. So I think now all interest is on the US and also on China. Also, the people that I have talked to, they also said that they sense this kind of change and are really hopeful that the US will sign up. And also China hasn't staked out a position, but China is actually now also in the process themselves to draft legislation. So they're trying to phase out single-use plastic within 5 years. So some observers are very hopeful that that's a sign that China is also going to sign up.
Where is industry on this in terms of, you know, a global approach to dealing with this issue?
It depends a bit on the type of industry. So, for example, if you look at PepsiCo, Coca-Cola, Unilever, they're really on board. And that's mainly because they have to deal with all the different regulation in different countries. Petrochemical companies, not all of them are on board. And that's mainly because they're investing a lot at the moment into plastics as their other industry. Oil that is now going into cars, there's a lot of decarbonization. So they're really betting on plastics. So they're not likely to sign up on this.
And
I want to share some extraordinary video. Look at this. I mean, it looks like an eye of fire here in the water off the coast of Mexico.
Over the weekend, a fire broke out on the surface of the Gulf of Mexico.
Boiling water, flames breaking through the surface as crews work to get a handle on the fire. This is from an underwater gas pipeline.
On Friday morning, a leak in a gas pipeline run by Pemex resulted in a five-hour-long fire close to an oil platform west of the Yucatan Peninsula. Over the weekend, representatives of the company said there were no signs of a major spill related to the fire. And although no one was injured, the images of the fire burning in the middle of the sea were immediately used by progressives to stress the need for green policies in the U.S. and the divestment from fossil fuels. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. Some of the music in today's show came from The Mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. I'm Anthony Dragna, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Did you know that Chevron supports the ambitions of the Paris Agreement? In fact, they've even tied their executives' compensation to lowering the carbon emissions intensity of their operations. Because it's only human to help power a brighter future.